Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. We used our Old Testament reading as our opening, so we continue with our epistle reading, which is from the first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter. As Paul begins to address the variety of issues and problems in the congregation at Corinth, he starts by pointing out that we preach Christ crucified. It's folly to some, it's a stumbling block to others, but for our salvation, it is the very power and wisdom of God. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, my brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We join in singing thy word. The gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter. It's a little interesting in John's gospel. We are at apparently the beginning of Jesus' ministry since we are in the beginning of the gospel. However, this event in the other gospels is recorded as part of Holy Week activity, but John actually moves it up to what appears to be the first time Jesus is in Jerusalem on official business as after he's been baptized. We're not sure exactly what to do with this historically and whatnot, but the passion of Jesus is clear here, and it's a passion for you, a zeal for you. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem for at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we join in singing Cornerstone, and just note the first time through in the first verse is sung by the praise band. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a tremendously comforting account is given in our gospel reading today. Now, if you didn't quite hear it that way, that's okay, because I don't think many hear it that way. In fact, a lot of people are puzzled by this rather ferocious side of Jesus that we heard about today. I mean, we're so used to the kind, the compassionate, the tender-hearted, the healing Jesus. Oh yeah, he'll confront the Pharisees if he has to. But then it's usually a word of games, and it's not really vicious. Not today. Clearing out the temple, making a whip to drive people away and the animals away, throwing tables for those who are exchanging money, that is out of character for Jesus. But the comfort is that in today's gospel reading, Jesus is showing the same zeal for us and for our salvation as always. After all, in his ministry, he drives out demons. He drives out sicknesses and diseases. He drives out death. And today he drives out those who make his Father's house a house of trade rather than a place to meet God. And then there's also this. Jesus knew that these actions were going to get him killed. Zeal for your house will consume me. That's what the psalmist wrote so many years before Jesus. Now, the disciples seem to be remembering that verse sort of in the sense that zeal is going to well up in Jesus. It's going to take control of him, make him fly into a rage. I mean, after all, zeal, that's an interesting word, right? I mean, it has positive connotations. It means an abundant amount of energy for something. You want to get at something, and you want to do it well. But it also has a tinge of craziness, right? Because when somebody's a zealot, they've got a little bit of crazy in their eyes. But see, that's not exactly what's going on here as Jesus cleanses the temple. It's not some uncontrolled fit of rage, but it's a recognition that this zeal is actually going to consume him. This zeal for the Lord's house is what is going to have him hunted down and destroyed. You see, the full sentence that David penned is this: zeal for your house will consume me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. See, the zeal welling up in Jesus isn't causing him to rage in the temple. He rages in the temple because that zeal is consuming him. They are going to destroy him. This is what we're moving toward again in the season of Lent. We're moving toward the cross of Jesus. And he knew it as well. But he didn't care. That wasn't going to stop him. He didn't care that this zeal that he was showing was going to have him killed, because that's how much he cares for you. Because he cares so much for you, he wouldn't stop that day in the temple. And that is to be tremendously comforting. Now, maybe one of the reasons we don't see Jesus cleansing the temple as comforting is that we instinctively know that Jesus, with a very similar zeal, wants to overturn our hearts the way he overturned those tables. He wants to drive out from us all sin and evil that lurks in us. And in its place, he wants to give us this zealous desire of his to do good works. And in our opening today, we see the things that we should be zealous for. Following the commandments of God is a great place to start in understanding what are the good works God desires us to be zealous for. And how are you doing with those, huh? I mean, we've already confessed that our zeal for the ways of God really isn't everything that it should be. And we said it with our mouth, and I certainly hope you believe it in your heart. We really have not loved you with our whole heart, God. And we certainly have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And that's why Lent is a good time for us to examine ourselves, to take a good, hard, honest look not only at our actions, but also the way we think, to take a look at the priorities we've set for ourselves, our loves, our desires. Lent is a great time to take a deep look at all that is twisted, all that is out of whack in us, and to repent. Turning us away from ourselves again and restoring the zeal to love God and to love our neighbor the way God wants us to. But also much more than that. Lent is a great time to hear the tremendously comforting actions and words of Jesus again. The word of all that he has done for us and our salvation. Which is why St. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified, that's the word that we need. That's the word that we cannot do without. We preach Christ crucified, which means we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach about all that we can do and attain. We don't preach about how to have a better life, 10 steps in Jesus to a better life. We don't preach a message of self-help. We don't preach a message of feel good. We don't preach therapy theology. Because all of that does not mean nearly as much as Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who loved his Father completely, thoroughly, totally, and perfectly. And Jesus is the one who loved his neighbors so much that he laid down his life to one of the most horrible deaths ever invented by man. And he did it for you. He did it for you that a worse death, an eternal death, wouldn't happen to you. That though you do die, yet you will live because of him. Zeal is what consumes Jesus. Nothing was going to stop him from rescuing and saving you. So when Jesus finds that the temple has been turned into something it was never meant to be, Jesus acts. And when challenged, He would not back down. Rather, Jesus ups the ante. Not only is he clearing out those who are selling the animals and exchanging money, ripping people off generally, but when demanded a sign of authority for doing this, Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this beautiful temple. You're going to raise it in 3 days? Impossible, you madman." Maybe it's worse than mad. You're stupid, dangerous. You're a zealot. You have to be dealt with. You have to be silenced. You have to be killed. And in doing so, they fulfilled Jesus' words. Because John tells us, Jesus wasn't talking about Herod's temple in Jerusalem, the building that they were standing in. Jesus was talking about his own body, because Jesus is the new temple of God. Jesus is the very dwelling place of God with man. And so really, they would destroy him. And Jesus would fulfill his words. He would raise it up in 3 days. And that is no less of a miracle than if he had rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem in 3 days. The one who was whipped, who was beaten mercilessly, crowned with thorns, pierced with nails and spear, killed, placed into a rock. He would rise back to life 3 days later. It is far more impressive than any building. In fact, it's so impressive that sadly many people deny that it even happened. But it did. And his resurrection also is for you. See, Jesus didn't rise for himself because he didn't die for himself. He did it all for you, that you might rise to new life now, that you might rise to eternal life after death. You, who are also battered and abused by sin and evil, some of it coming from within yourself, some of it coming from the world around you. In Christ, you are healed. You are raised. You are forgiven and washed clean by Jesus. In baptism, you are made whole and healed and perfected in Jesus. In baptism, in fact, the Bible says, you become the very temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the same is true. Every time your baptismal promises are reapplied to you with the words of the absolution, every time you come before God, dirtied, sinful, the word of Jesus cleanses you again and again. You are washed and cleansed and raised. Your sin, the evil, the death sentence are gone. A new life begun. So yes, we find great comfort, even if there's a little bit of terror, in the words of our gospel reading today, in Jesus cleansing the temple, because we let this word of God do its work in us as well. We let the word of God overturn the table of our hearts to drive out everything that doesn't belong, all the sin and the evil and the unbelief. We let the word of God make us his temple now, his dwelling place now, so that his word of forgiveness, his word of life takes root, so that his word of forgiveness and his word of life renews our zeal, so that with the one who did it perfectly, we also would have a zealous love for our God and a zealous love for our neighbor. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, Keep your hearts and your minds zealous in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.